Welcome into the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Here's your hosts, Barry Cronin and Tyler Rocky.
Welcome on in. It is the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin with you until 9 a.m. Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there and to all the great moms who help support all the golf dreams and just help everyone get into the game of golf as well. We appreciate you. I got a text from my mom actually this morning, Barry, and it ties in nicely to what's happening. She said, "We've got two golf balls in the yard today. We live right off of, actually, the Glenview Park Golf Club, our presenting sponsor here on the CDGA Golf Show. And there's two golf balls in the yard this morning, one dangerously close to the house. But whenever I get one of those texts from her, I always say, well, I hope one's a Titleist out there."
Exactly. So. Exactly. We don't want, yeah, there's a few brands we really don't want. We don't want anything from the practice range.
Right, exactly. Yep, exactly. Right now, let's go on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and welcome in Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, the founder of Folds of Honor and the American Dunes Golf Club in Grand Haven, Michigan. He does immaculate work with the Folds of Honor Foundation, which helps children of fallen soldiers go to college. Dan, good morning to you. How are you today?
I am blessed, and I will start and second your comment by saying a huge happy Mother's Day to all the real heroes out there, because there is nothing more heroic than being a mom.
Yes, thanks so much, Dan. I can't agree with you more. It's incredible to think that the Folds of Honor, you founded it 15 years ago, and it's had such incredible impact on the lives of the military families, veterans, et cetera, who were lost in our various wars over the years. Tell us about what's happening. What's happening now?
Yeah, I think the Folds is a beautiful lesson for everybody, right? And it's when God puts something in your heart, go before you're ready. And that's been a mantra of mine for many, many years. And you're never going to have it all figured out, right?
Right.
Don't listen to what's in your head necessarily. Certainly don't listen to the people around you. Listen to what's in your heart, and you go before you're ready, and extraordinary things happen in life. And there are tons of examples out there that, you know, extend beyond something like Folds of Honor. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, just about 15 years ago, I was sitting above my garage in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and I wrote down, "Honor the sacrifice, educate the legacy." And I'm really proud we have not wavered from that, you know, providing scholarships to spouses and children who've had someone killed or disabled, 35,000 scholarships to date, about $165 million out the door, and the gift of a life-changing education. And we're also really proud, too, that 41% of those are minorities. And as we struggle as a country to find a positive path to equality that we all want, man, I'm a big believer education is the way that we get there together. So, yeah, Folds is just growing and you know, doing an incredible life-changing stuff. And I know we're going to talk about the golf church, American Dunes, where it all started here, and excited as we're finally getting some warm temps and into golf season, man.
Absolutely. We need it. We need it. We're finally, this week, we're going to get some decent weather, and this is the one-year anniversary of American Dunes, and it's in Grand Haven. Is that my memory right, Michigan?
We call it Grand Heaven.
Grand Heaven. I missed
Grand,
that.
Grand Heaven. So, it's about 160 miles up the skyway there from you guys in Chicago. And I would say, man, you can tell people facts, they might learn, but you tell them a great story, and that's when we lean in. And that's why our good Lord taught in parables. And this is an amazing story, and to appreciate the place, and the place is amazing. Jack and I, Mr. Nicholas, just refer to it as a golf church, and he checks in with me frequently, and is just such a benevolent hero in this story. But the reason American Dunes exists is because we had the very first golf tournament for what would become Folds of Honor back in July of 2006. So we have 67 golfers show up, and I call it Patriot Golf Day, and we raise $8,500. And really, that's when God flipped this switch in me, and it was like, I've experienced this incredible irony that when you're not focused on yourself, when you're focused on helping others, you find fulfillment in an extraordinary way. And I'm like, man, I like this drug a lot. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned, you know, we start above our garage, we start folds. But at the time, you know, the Grand Haven Golf Club, which many people had played, had been there for years. My family had bought that in 1998. So fast forward to 2017, and both my parents are pushing 80. I live in Oklahoma, and I was like, hey, we should just turn this thing into real estate, move on down the road. And my dad, in his infinite wisdom, says, hey, son, we can't do that. You know, we love this community, and Folds of Honor started there. And I'm like, Dad, I got one Hail Mary. I'm going to see if I can get a meeting with Jack Nicklaus, which isn't easy to do, by the way. So I get a meeting with Jack. And I go down and explain what I just shared with you, that the significance of this place is where Folds of Honor started. And I said, I even have a name for it, American Dunes. And he looked at me and he said, are there a bunch of dunes there? I said, well, I think so, but it's covered with trees and grass right now. But I know there's sand underneath this thing.
Yeah.
And he looks at me, and after a long conversation at the Bears Club, and he said, hey, man, I'm in. I'll waive my $3 million fee. Let's go build this thing together. And I said, awesome, we're going to build a golf church. And he looked at me kind of crosswise. He didn't understand. I said, no, Jack, you don't understand. This thing's going to be way more than a golf course. This is God, country, and golf in that order. And it's going to bring people together like nothing that you've ever built that's ever been built in the history of the game.
Yeah.
And it has done that.
Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. So, Dan, when you're in that meeting with Jack, what's the level of starstruck for you when you're in that moment?
Oh, totally starstruck. But then I will go to terrified. I remember it like yesterday, walking out of the Bears Club, and the GOAT just said yes. And the pressure and expectation that hit me, like, I have no clue where to go from here.
Right. Yeah, where do you get the money, Dan? To okay, so he waived his fee, but still, right. You have to cut down all the trees. You have to clear. I mean, because I think what people don't understand is you basically took a Parkland golf course, right, and transformed it into a dunes club, right, where there aren't a lot of trees. Well, so you had to take a lot out. You got to take the stumps out. You know, I mean, life is complicated.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm a fighter pilot, right? So I'll liken it to this. I mean, we laid waste to what was the Grand Haven Golf Club.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's nothing similar that exists. And we took this tree line and we deforested, I mean, thousands of trees, took every piece of grass, every piece of topsoil off of it. And what was left was this just magic sand. And then I got to watch my boyhood hero go to work.
Yeah.
And design like every contour of this place. And I've got to be really good friends with Barbara along the walk. And Barbara's like, I can't get American Dunes plans off my kitchen table. I mean, they live there. She's like, I haven't seen Jack like this, you know, maybe ever.
That's
and
really
one
cool.
Of the, like, one of the coolest moments, too, is Barbara would come on the site visits. And Jack's typical site visit, he does a signature design that he shows up twice. Jack made 9 site visits to American Dunes.
Wow.
And on one of them, it's this cold, blustery, awful day, and they're going out and getting in the SUVs to go drive the course, and Barbara's like, can I come? And Jack, like, pivots and looks at her, and she said, sweetheart, you've never asked me, and you've never gone out on a golf course construction site. And she said, Jack, that's because you've never done one like this.
Wow. That's
and
beautiful.
So, I mean, they go all in, right? And the term that he kept using with me, he says, Dan, I want to build you something that's as reverent as the cause.
That's awesome.
And this place is magical. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's changing the game, and it changes people's hearts when they come. Because it's almost like when you come in through the Folds Memorial, the only way you can come in and out of this facility, and you're walking literally in the boot prints of soldiers who've given their lives for your freedom, the stories of their families flank the walls as you enter in through this and into the clubhouse, and people roll up to the front desk and they're crying.
Yeah.
And then you start this journey called American Dunes, which, you know, we eulogize a soldier who's been killed in action on every hole. Jack has put to rest one of his major championships on every hole. We tell those stories out there. At 1300 every day, which is 1 o'clock for the non-military folks listening, we played taps, and the bell tolls 13 times, signifying the 13 folds that bring the flag to that iconic triangle shape of freedom, and the whole place shuts down.
Yeah.
Now we stop and remember that freedom is not free. There's over 1 million veterans who have paid this ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms, and then every day at 1730, which is 5:30. We take the flag down, massive flag, the only flag in the history of golf that's actually in play, and it's intentional between the conjoined 9 and 10 fairways. This flag is so big you can see it from the space station, and you can get a drop on either side of it, but we sing the national anthem every day at 1730.
That's awesome.
And the deck will be full with people drinking beer, smoking cigars, World War II vets out there, rendering a salute and singing the national anthem. And it's just such a throwback. And the beauty of this place, too, man, it's not red or blue. Everything's got to be a red or blue issue, right?
Right.
It is red, white, and blue. We come together around the country and the game we love. We lock arms. We drink a Budweiser out of an AIM-9 missile in the Cabo bar, which is one of a kind, nothing like it on planet Earth. The missiles we carry on the side of our F-16s, we turned into a draft system up there. And it's just a beautiful place, and we hope people will come escape life and come up and play us this summer.
Well, great, Dan. I just wanted to ask you, too. I mean, obviously that's a fantastic place, and you raise a lot of money just through the golf course. But you're also doing Patriot Golf Days again on Memorial Day. Tell us how that, you know, people can contribute just when they go play golf on the Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it's simple. It's the biggest hall pass ever issued to everyone listening on Mother's Day to your golf show. So obviously they're golf geeks. But you go out, you play golf. We call it golf's most heroic round. Huge news. The PGA Tour, USGA, LPGA, PGA of America, all official partners of Patriot Golf Days. And you go on your phone, patriotgolfdays.com, and you make a donation to offer this round in honor of someone you love that has served, or just to say thank you for your freedoms. You know, over the 14 years, we've raised over $50 million with golfers given $1, $2, $5 at a time. But go out and play a round to say thank you for your freedoms. And we hope everybody will be out there. Tons of golf courses in the Chicago area who are registered facilities. That's great. But it's a matter of just going out and playing golf and making a donation over Memorial Day to honor the over 1 million veterans, as I mentioned before, that have paid the ultimate sacrifice.
Thank you so much, Lieutenant Dan Rooney. And you are an inspiration and a great patriot, and in the best sense of that word. And thank you very much for everything you've done for this country.
Man, I am blessed. Thanks for having me on. And again, a huge salute to all those heroic moms, especially the military spouses. And we look forward to rolling out the red, white, and blue carpet for all those folks listening to come up and see us in American Dunes. My promise is that it will be a day you will never forget coming to play this reverent place, as Mr. Nicholas calls it. So thanks, guys, and have a blessed Sunday.
You as well. Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and you can check out all of the great work that they're doing. Go to foldsofhonor.org. Amazing stuff, amazing work, providing scholarships to spouses and children of America's fallen and disabled service members. Amazing stuff, and you can check out the golf course as well up in Grand Haven, or as he likes to call it, Grand Heaven,
right,
Michigan, as well. When we come back, I want to get into a little bit more of this Phil Mickelson stuff, and also one PGA Tour pro sounding off and can't wait to get off the PGA Tour and join the Saudi League. You'll hear that when we come back. Hey everyone, it's Tyler Aki. What if I told you that you could participate in a prestigious golf tournament all season long? A tournament where you could represent any country you want, consisting of match play qualifiers, foursome, four ball, and singles. What if I told you it was all right here in Chicagoland as well? Introducing the Nation's Golf Cup, an inaugural golf tournament where you pick your country and compete for a chance to be crowned champion. Visit thenationsgolfcup.com for more details. Registration closes May 31st, so sign up while you still can at thenationsgolfcup.com and tell them that ESPN sent you.
From PGA to where you should play, this is the CDGA Golf Show with Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
It's the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Rocky and Barry Cronin with you until 9 a.m. on this lovely Mother's Day. Looking like a great day outside. The weather starting to finally turn for the better here in Chicago. I mentioned to Barry earlier, I think the proper term is the instant summer that we are getting this week. So looking forward to all of that. Last segment was brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience. We're going to talk to Robert Slezak from the Nation's Golf Cup in just about 15 minutes from now here on the CDGA Golf Show. He's going to tell you everything you need to know about the Nation's Golf Cup, a great, great tournament that's coming here to the Chicagoland area. But first, let's dive in a little bit more on everything with Phil Mickelson and what's going on. We talked a little bit about the rumored gambling addiction that has now been made a little bit more public due to Alan Shipnuck's new book that's due to come out in about a week and a half now. But everything now is sort of centered on Phil Mickelson, his title defense at the PGA Championship at Southern Hills in about 2 weeks. And I look at everything that's going into this, and I mean, it feels like you've got two great golf forces going at it leading into Southern Hills. It's the Tiger, will he, won't he play in the tournament? And now it's this dark cloud hovering over Phil. Was he suspended? All that stuff is ties to the Saudi Golf League. And this was fascinating. I heard this on the Five Irons podcast, and this was from the CEO of the PGA of America, Seth Waugh. And he talked about Phil Mickelson and everything that's sort of hovering over him right now with the PGA Championship.
It's just sad, right? It's sad for Phil, and it's sad for the game. And he's been great for the game for a really long time. And I do believe in redemption, and I do believe that, you know, he can figure this out. I think he's got to decide what he wants to be. Does he want to be part of the ecosystem or change the ecosystem? And I think he's kind of caught in between a little bit right now. I've had a number of conversations with him before, you know, call it last fall and since then and recently. I think he is, as you said it well, I think he's trying to figure out right when the right time for him is. I think the game's trying to figure out the right time for him too. You know, how long is long enough, and is he ready mentally and physically to do it? And so he signed up, you know, a long time ago, as he has to. I mean, obviously he's exempt as our defending champion, but he signed up and has stayed signed up in order to sort of keep his options open. I think it'll be a late, you know, decision. And I think, you know, we'll continue to have conversations. You know, I've known Phil for 20-something years, and he's a complicated guy with complicated thoughts and in a complicated situation. And so we're all trying to figure out what's best for him and, frankly, what's best for the game, and we're going to keep having those conversations.
So that was interesting there. He mentioned he's had conversations with Phil over the past couple of weeks, months, and it seems like Phil's going to play, but it also sounds like a guy who knows that Phil's been suspended for a little bit.
Well, Phil Mickelson has obviously registered for the PGA Championship, where he is defending champion, and had this incredible, great, positive story last year when he won the tournament at the age of 50. Never been done before. and put him really at the top of the golf world with Tiger. You know, not necessarily Tiger, you know, equivalent, but certainly and a positive figure in the golf world. And then all this other stuff about the Saudi League came out. I think we understand now a little bit better why Phil is so motivated, highly motivated to get involved with the Saudi League because of this gambling debt problem. Now, we don't know how much he owes right now, but if you owe $40 million 10 years ago, you're probably pretty close to, who knows what he owes? We don't know.
There's still a chunk.
And, yeah. And importantly, we don't know who he owes it to, okay? So right. Who do you bet $40 million with? It's not, you know, when you go out to play your Sunday Nassau, you know, at the local right. course. If you owe that kind of money and you're betting NFL, you're not just laying down your doing it on your points bet app or whatever.
Well, and think about the time that he did it. That window from 2010 to 2014, there was still that hovering taboo over gambling as well, where it was not legal in all 50 states. It was Vegas or bust, or everything else was kind of a little bit through shady back channels as well.
Right, exactly. So that's, to me, the motivation for him to get involved with the Saudi League and to really change the trajectory of his place in golf history. I mean, he is a historic figure in golf, the way that Palmer, Nicklaus, Hogan, a multiple Masters winner, British Open winner, PGA Championship winner. The only tournament he hasn't won major, the U.S. Open. He's finished second a bunch of times in that event. I mean, his whole legacy is on the line with this. But in addition to signing up for the PGA Championship, he's also signed up for the first event of the LIV Tour, we call it, right? The Saudi Golf League event. In London, the week before the U.S. Open, $20 million purse, and Lee Westwood, Sergio Garcia, Robert Garrigus, the immortal Robert Garrigus, God bless him, those are the guys that we know are in. They supposedly have 15 guys in the top 100 signed up to play in that tournament. We'll see. Money talks in life. And we will see what happens. But will Tiger, and then you talk about Tiger, you know, Tiger, it's amazing. Nobody, we've always known about Phil's gambling issues, right? We've known he's a gambler. Nobody ever knew about Tiger's little scandal, such as it was. And we wouldn't have known if he hadn't have been texting all those party girls. Never put anything in writing, Tiger. That would have been the best thing for you to do. And nobody would have known about that either. But Phil's got a real problem here, and it's going to be interesting to see if he's going to play in the PGA, because the PGA of America was pretty adamant that if you were going to play in the PGA, you couldn't play in the Saudi League. But what's interesting is the PGA Championship comes before their first event, and I think that's strategic. They avoided, you know, they didn't want to have Phil, you know, miss that tournament. So I think he's going to play. But heck, the press conference that week, he should do the press conference before. You know, he should try to get a lot of it out of the way before he goes there before he goes to Southern Hills and walks in there on Tuesday, and it's all about the Saudi thing and the gambling and everything else.
Right. I look at it this way. For those who may think the PGA Tour is in trouble, look at the names that have committed to the Saudi League or are in talks with the Saudi League versus the names that are backing the PGA Tour here, right? Look at what Colin Morikawa said in the past week when he sort of addressed everything and said, hey, it's not about money. I'd rather go win out on the PGA Tour than join the Saudi-backed league. And again, maybe it's a little different for someone like Morikawa, who's won a couple majors already in his very young career. But you take a look at some of the other names that seem to be leaning or committed to the PGA Tour, whether it's Bryson, whether it's Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy. I mentioned Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Tiger, obviously, is the big one. Brooks Koepka. If you've got John Rahm, if you've got those names backing you right now, I'd much rather be in the PGA Tour corner right now than in the Saudi League corner.
Well, yeah, because the Saudi League right now, they're getting people like Westwood and Garcia. Ian Poulter's been talked about. So those guys
it's
are
names, but yeah. It's a bunch of has-beens.
Well, right.
Watson, another guy, hasn't won a major since 2014.
Right.
Phil's sort of the outlier here. He won the one in the PGA last year, but he hadn't won anything quite some time before that. Sergio Garcia, he won the Masters in 2017, but there's droughts there.
Oh, totally droughts. Well, he won one major in all those years. I mean, we those of us who were around in 1999, and I know you were probably in your playpen,
still in diapers
at that point. But Sergio running down the fairway on the 16th hole to see the shot that he just hit off of a tree root. And doing that scissor kick. I mean, that was really fun. And him, you know, waving at Tiger Woods, who was a hole in front of him. And then Tiger went on, of course, won the tournament, and Sergio did not. And Sergio, you know, he won one major, and then all of a sudden he right. didn't do it. He hasn't done anything since. So those guys don't care. And Sergio is complaining this week about the PGA Tour rules officials. And he said, he told them, I can't wait to get off this tour. I'll be
yeah,
gone.
Let's play that. We've got the audio of it from Sergio Garcia. This was, I believe, Friday?
Yes.
At Potomac.
Yeah.
And there was he went to go search for a ball.
Yeah.
But between him and the ball, there was a little creek, and he had to get across the creek, which for anyone who's played some of these courses with these creeks, that's no easy ordeal. And the rules official started to take his journey across the creek into the time limit that you're given, the 3-minute time limit that you're given to search for your ball. And it shouldn't have been. So this was Sergio Garcia on Friday getting a little bit upset with the PGA Tour officials.
When did you, not when I got through here and everything.
Yeah, when you got into here and started searching. You had to ask
them. I mean, but you wanted to swim through the river. I mean, I wasn't looking for the ball there. I was looking for the ball once I got over this side. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was on this side of the river.
Okay. I mean, I started the clock when you got over into here. So, I mean, if you said you weren't searching for it, you were trying to get to the other side, then that's different.
So you said, good luck. Can't wait to live this tour. Can't wait to get out of here, my friend.
And that's Sergio in a nutshell, a guy who sort of seeks out conflict. I mean, we talk about his Masters win in 2017, but in my opinion, for someone of my age, I think the fonder Masters memory of Sergio is him dunking 5 in the water and posting a 13 on one of the holes at Augusta. That to me is what I remember more of for Sergio than him actually winning the whole thing in 2017. So, yeah, he's clearly frustrated with the tour. And it's something that certainly is going to be brought up with him moving forward.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he's frustrated with his career. I mean, he's a guy who just really, unfortunately, never really lived up to his potential. He was the heir apparent to Jose Maria Olazabal and Seve Ballesteros and that whole, the Spanish Armada. You know, he never really. His putting was such that he couldn't really win majors. He had the British Open. I mean, if he'd have made a putt at the British Open, he would have won, and he missed it, and he wound up losing. So he did win his one major, and so like Darren Clark before him, who won the British Open. You know, they won their one major, and then they seemed to exhale in their careers. And since Sergio won the Masters, it was a great victory and everything. But you're right. He's been a whining, complaining sort of guy for a long time. He's a likable guy, but on the other hand, he's not. So we all have different people. You know, everybody has different parts of their personality. You know, sometimes you're a good guy, sometimes you're not. And nobody's perfect and everybody's human. But you know, Sergio's got an image of being sort of a real complainer and a guy who never really got as much out of his talent as he probably should have.
Right.
So you can understand why he's going to go. But these guys are all going to give up their Ryder Cup captaincies? Westwood, Garcia, Poulter. I mean, if they go to this tour, I mean, those guys are future Ryder Cup captains. So it's a thing, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah. This segment brought to you by Cog Hill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with top tracer technology. When we come back, we will talk to Robert Slezak, the founder of the Nation's Golf Cup. He'll tell you everything you need to know about this year's tournament.
Golf is on your mind and on the air right now.
This is the CDGA Golf Show
on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by Zero Friction and their new Wheel Pro Golf Bag. Tyler Opke and Barry Cronin. If you missed any of the show, check it out on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcasts. We welcome on in studio Robert Slezak, the founder of the Nation's Golf Club. Robert, thanks so much for joining us here on this Sunday. Now, can you just brief people in a little bit on what the Nation's Golf Cup is and how did you come up with the idea?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you, Tyler, Barry, and the CDGA for having me here. And to all moms out there, thank you so much for taking care of your children and raising them, and happy Mother's Day. And to answer your question, there are multiple reasons why we created the Nation's Golf Cup. Our beautiful country is a melting pot of many, many nations, and quite a few people still feel very strongly about their heritage. We felt that those golfers will welcome the opportunity to represent their old countries in our event. Every golfer I've ever known loves the Ryder Cup, the Solheim Cup, the President's Cup, and we felt like, why does the amateur golfer never really get a chance to play in such a competition? So those were the main reasons why we created the Nation's Golf Cup.
Well, that's great. And the part of this is when you sign up to play, you pick the nation that you want to represent. So I would like to represent the U.S., although the U.S. might not want me to represent it, but that's another story. In terms of quality of play, they could find somebody better. But or I could say, well, I have Irish heritage, or I have German heritage, or I could say I want to be like Rory Sabatini, and I get marry a girl from Slovakia, and I become the silver medalist at the Olympics. Tell us about that. I mean, do you have to represent? How do you pick what nation you're going to represent?
Well, that's very correct, and Rory made a very correct decision, I guess, in the end.
Yeah.
We really don't ask people for their passports. We just ask them to play for somebody they have some sort of affiliation with. If they Americans and they were on vacation in Japan, love Japan, go ahead and play for Japan. If they feel really strongly about they came from Croatia or Poland, they feel that they like to play for Poland, then that's the country they're going to pick. So it's really all whatever is closest to their heart, who they want to play for, that's the country they're going to pick in the Nation's Golf Cup.
And does it matter? Does it, you know, let's just say, is it better if I represent a country with fewer people representing that country? Do I have a better chance of making it into the finals? Whereas if I say, hey, I'm going to represent the U.S., you know, there's way more people that are going to so I'm competing against the larger field of people in order to get to the finals to represent the U.S. So I've got to pick a country that nobody really is me. I have to pick, like, Uganda, right? I've got to pick Zimbabwe.
Yes.
I got to pick Madagascar, okay? And then I will be maybe have a better chance of getting into the finals. Is that how it works? Or do I have it all wrong?
Well, probably. Not necessarily. We created the brackets, and for any country to actually qualify to play in this tournament, there needs to be at least 8 people sign up for their country. So say if you pick Uganda, you're the only one there, you will not automatically qualify. In that case, we may ask the countries that do not have enough people to join with the other countries.
Okay.
And so there needs to be a minimum of 8 people sign up, but there's also a maximum of 128 people per draw. And we also said, because we know we live in Chicagoland, and we know there's lots of Americans, there's lots of Mexicans, there's lots of Polish people, we're going to limit to 2 draws per country if there is really, really a large amount of people sign up for the tournament. Unfortunately, we have to say no to some of them and just limit the numbers to 2 draws.
Sure, but you're right about Chicago, one of the great melting pots of immigration in this country over the years, and a lot of people very, very proud of their heritage here. Even though, you know, there's 2 or 3 generations, everybody was born in America, whatever, your parents, but they still have that really strong affiliation. So, you know, for Ireland, for example, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that from my own family, obviously, my last name. But anyway, but yeah, and of course, you have a strong Korean immigration here and Japanese. Mm-hmm. So it's really, I think it could be a really cool thing.
I'm just going on a side note. We traveled through the United States a lot with my family, and I must say I never seen any other place, state or a city, where you can see all these cars with all the flags of different countries, you know, driving around the place. So I think you hit it right on the head.
And Robert, what is your you're probably not from the northwest side of Chicago. Where are you from?
Well, I live in south suburbs right now, but originally from Czechoslovakia.
Okay. Very good.
Robert Slezak from the Nation's Golf Club joining us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So, Robert, who's eligible for this tournament? What's the format and setup of everything here?
Pretty much we made the rules, so pretty much anybody is eligible to play in a format. It doesn't matter what their age is, what their nationality, whatever whatever the sex of the player, that doesn't make any difference. We did cap the handicaps at 9 because it's very very hard to in a golf competition. It's very hard to match up players with very low and very, very high handicaps. So we kept it at 9. If your handicap, however, is above 9, say 12, 15, you're still more than welcome to sign up and play. That's pretty much, we really don't have any, like, set criteria for
it.
There's actually one. You can never in the past play golf professionally. So that's the only criteria that is.
Yeah. And is there a separate women's division then? No. So the women are going to play, obviously they'll play up tees.
So yes, so it's set up it's the handicap slash tee box scenario where I think we gave everyone equal chance to play in their match play. So yes, for the woman, they're gonna obviously play forward tees, you know, from the man, mm-hmm. and so everything is really explained in details on the website, mm-hmm. under the rules page.
Mm-hmm. And that website, thenationsgolfcup.com. So. When you sign up there, be sure to put in ESPN as the place that you heard about us. And Robert, are there any prizes for winning the Nation's Golf Cup?
Yes. Well, the winner obviously will get the cup, which will be somewhat similar to what NHL has. It will be traveling cup, and the players' names will be engraved on a cup, and they'll keep it for a year until the next year a champion is crowned. They're going to forward it to the next team. But also, we felt that it's going to be very important to include charities in our event. And so the winner of the Nations Golf Cup will pick a charity of their choice, and the Nations Golf Cup will send a check in the amount of 4% of the sign-up fees to the charity. And then every member of the winning team will get 3% of the sign-up fees. Every member of the second-place team will get 2% of the sign-up fees. And every member of the third-place team will also get a 1% of the sign-up fees.
That's awesome. Well, we can't wait to play. Barry and I will be playing in it. You should, too. Sign up, thenationsgolfcup.com. Robert, thanks so much for joining us. A fantastic idea, and we look forward to seeing you
in the nation's Golf Cup.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
This segment brought to you by Zero Friction, the most innovative products company in golf. We'll wrap up the show when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Barry Cronin
and Tyler Rocky.
Thank you to Jake Cantu for producing today's show. Thank you as well to Danny Edwards, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, and Robert Slezak for all hopping on with us today on the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And we thank our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. If you missed anything from today, be sure to check out the podcast of the CDGA Golf Show. Just go to that ESPN Chicago app or Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. It'll be right there for you. We've got Hanley and Xander coming up next, and also White Sox baseball, breakfast baseball today, 10:30 first pitch. Connor McKnight has your pregame starting at 10 a.m. I know Brian Hanley is going to be very hot about yesterday's Kentucky Derby, one of the great races that I've seen in my lifetime. But what a finish that was for the Kentucky Derby yesterday. But kind of rounding everything out here on today's show, what do you think, Barry? Do you think that anyone's going to catch Keegan Bradley out at Potomac later on today? Can it be Max Homa? Will Anirban Lahiri have some sort of comeback in him? All these or James Hahn, all these guys are 2-4 shots back. Can anyone catch Keegan?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of movement, and as we saw yesterday with Jason Day, any golfer who's playing great can have a bad day. So you don't know. Keegan Bradley has been playing under the radar the last couple of years, but he's really had some great top finishes in the last couple of months here on the PGA Tour. So he's playing great. So he'll be a tough competitor today. But yeah, there are guys that can catch him for sure.
Next week we will start to dive into our PGA Championship preview. We're going to have Teddy Greenstein from PointsBet on the show. He's going to give you all the gambling angles, so can't wait for that conversation. Hanley and Xander are next. This segment brought to you by X-Golf Downers Grove with easy access off of I-88 and I-355. A happy Mother's Day to all, and we appreciate you all listening and everything that you do for us here in the golfing world. For Barry Cronin, I'm Tyler Aki. We will talk to you guys next week.